Okay, we are up to Pasuk Tes, page 168. On page 168, Pasuk Tes, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes, Le'esachar Napi, Le'oshav L'shaches Ephraim. Hashem is continuing his words of comfort, beautiful words of comfort. Hashem says, I will not carry out my anger. All of the different words of Musar that all the words of Musa which I promised, which I said I would do, I will not do. Lo yese, I will not do to them. Charoi napi lo yashuv l'shachis sefer. I will not ashuv. I will not return. Okay, the word over here is a little bit out of context. The word ashuv, we'll try to translate it. L'shachis to destroy Ephraim. Ki kel anoichi. Very strange expression, because the reason why I'll not destroy them is because I am a god. So what? Adarabba, because Hashem is a god, that's exactly why Hashem would want to punish us for not following, for not obeying. Yet it says, Kikel Adoichi V'loi Ish, and okay, we have to understand what that means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ultimate ability to withhold. Bikir Becha Kodosh, I am holy within your midst, V'loi Ovoi V'ir, I will not enter into the city to bring upon you harm. Now, what does that mean exactly? Let's go through it with the different commentators. Page 168, Pasuk Tes. Let's start with the Mitzudos on Pasuk Tes. The Mitzudos is not on page 168, rather it's on page 170. Okay, on 170 is the Mitzudos, but there is in fact no Mitzudos on the beginning of the Pasuk. The Pasuk in page 170 says, Ki kel anochi v'chol eis yadi moishlo aleihem. At all moments in time, my hand rules over you. L'chein arich oirapi, and therefore I will have patience with you. V'lo ish shemimaher lihinokem b'choshoi pen li'achar zman lo ye le'el yado. He will not have power. Okay, so far the Mitzvah is telling us very fascinating insight into this positive of the Shbaruch Hu has all the time in the world. A human being, he calls the door. A human, all the way. A human being is in a rush because a human being recognizes that time is running out, and if he wants to witness, an event in his lifetime, he has a short time. It's a very short period of time, and therefore the person is always in a rush to go and accomplish his goals. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have that problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all the time in the world. That's what it means according to the Mitzvot, Ki kel anochi, I am a God. And a God, now he says, V'lo ish. Mitzvot says, Hashem, when it says ish, it's very interesting how he focuses, ish is the focus of time. The limitation, it's a very fascinating insight, what is an ish? An ish is enosh. Enosh means weakness. What's the pasuk? The pasuk says, enosh adaka. Enosh has a kind of different... Toshev enosh adaka. Man will return adaka until nothingness. There are two different main terms to describe a human being. There is Adam and there is ish. Adam at times has a connotation, the greatness of man. Slobodka. Adam comes from the word Adameh lo Elyon. Nebuchadnezzar said this, I will compare myself to the Most High. I am a God. Adameh lo Elyon. A human being is the Yetzir Kapov, is the Tselem Elokim. A human being is a very great creature. He is created in the image of Hashem. The word Adam captures the dimension of the greatness of man. Ish captures Narvardik. The dimension, man is a nothing. Toshuv enosh adaka, man will return to nothingness, to the earth, to daka, to dust. Man is a nothing. Enosh, the word that the Pasuk used to express the idea that man is a nothing, worthless creature, is enosh, the frailty of man. What is the most fundamental difference between the greatest frailty of man relative to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. There's no such limit of time. Like we said yesterday, Yudke Vavke is the combination of Hoya, Hoyve, Vigiye. Man is just a speck of time, not even a speck of time. So here the Mitzvah is very, very fascinating in his Taich. of the loy ish. There are many things you can say about man when you want to focus on man's frailty, that man is only an ish and he's not an adam. There are many different things that you can focus on here. The mitzvah shows to focus on the fact that man is limited in time. And that is his limit. Hashem does not have that limit. Therefore, Hashem has all the patience in the world not to punish us right away, but to wait for the right moment in time, and hopefully we'll do tshuva by then. And when it says the word kel, the Mitzvah Stav, it says kel means I have power. My power extends over you no matter where you are at every moment in time, and therefore there's nothing holding me back from punishing you when I choose, because you will always be under my jurisdiction. A melech, boss of Adam, or let's say you have friends and you have human beings and they have a need, a desire to punish someone, to cause harm to someone, or to reward someone, there is a problem. There is the awareness: if I don't do it now, you may tomorrow move away. You may tomorrow, if I am your employer, tomorrow you may quit, and I might not have the opportunity to punish you or to bring you harm. You only can do something when you are in control. And being that a human being lacks control, your control over someone else is limited. You're in a rush to exercise your power when you have that option, when you have that opportunity. But Hashem does not have that problem, because we are under His control b'chol eis u'v'chol sha'ah. And therefore Hashem says, that's why I have the option of being patient. So this is how the Mitzvah learns two different powerful ideas. Ki kel anochi, I'm always in control. There's no rush. Number two, v'loy ish, I have all the time in the world, and therefore there is no rush. Next words of the Mitzvah, bekir b'chol anochi, I'm within your midst. Bekir b'chol kadosh, in your midst is holiness. Ritzoin elaymar, therefore l'chein oid asha bekir b'chol kadosh shchinasi, therefore I will continue to rest. So this is a continuation to rest the Shechina within you. And I will not go. Hashem over here, the way he learns, I'm not going to exchange you for a different nation. Hashem here says, I will not exchange Klal Yisrael for a different nation. That's how he learned Pshat in this pasuk. So let's review the word of the pasuk now according to the Perush of Rashi. It's a very fascinating Perush, going to the Mitzudos. We read the pasuk again on page 168. Lo yeseh charoin api. Hashem says, at this moment in time, I will not pour out my anger. V'loy oshuv l'shachet Ephraim. I will not destroy. The word oshuv here is used in the form of, I will not go forward, basically. Even though the word oshuv means to go backwards, but in this context, it just means that I will not oshuv to go backwards. Because Hashem does not want to destroy us. When Hashem destroys us, it's like He's going backwards. I will not destroy Ephraim. Why? Kikel onoichi, because I have the ultimate power. There's no limitation. And the only reason why I would want to do something now is because I'm limited. I'm limited to when I have control over them. I don't have that limitation. I have full control over them forever. V'loyish. I'm not a human being. I do not have the frailty of time. So time is not a problem. I can punish you whenever I want. And therefore, there's no rush. There's no rush from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose to bring upon us punishment. Therefore, Bikir B'chol Kadosh, therefore, I will continue to rest my Shechina among you. V'loy Avoy Bi'ir, I will not exchange you for another nation. I will not enter my divine presence. My divine presence will not enter into another city, another community, another nation, but you will remain my people. Okay, that's a mouthful. A lot there, a lot of ideas, a lot of concepts have been expressed by the Mitzvahs in these few short words. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Tes. Lo Yashav, Midvari, Hatoif, he learns an entirely different parish Rashi. I will not change, I will not retract from my promises. Okay, not like the Mitzvahs. The Mitzvahs is very straightforward. Loy Oshuv means I'm just not going to, basically, we're going to translate loosely, to go forward with my plan to destroy you. And the word Oshuv in this context means to go forward, even though normally the word Oshuv means to go backwards. when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going forward to destroy us, that's really going backwards. Because Hashem does not want really to destroy us. But that's it's a simple translation. Hashem is not going to go forward to destroy us. Rashi does not translate the words in that fashion. Rashi says, I've made for you multiple promises throughout Tanakh, to the prophets, to Moshe, to the others. I promised you a lot of good things. If I destroy you, in essence, I am changing my mind. I'm backtracking. I am removing my promises. I will not do that. I will not go backwards. Bidvori hatoif. Asher amarti. What did I say? Isn't this amazing? The Hashkoch HaPadis, this week's parasha, the Teirecha, lo me'astim v'loi ge'altim. In this week's parasha, Parashat Spichukosai, with the Teirecha, the end of the Teirecha, I will not detest them. I will not reject them. Liyois bashchis, to destroy Esefayim. I'm not going to have charoto on those words. Ki kelenoichi. Again, not like the Mitzudos, and Hashem, the word kel means Hashem is faithful to his word. If Hashem gives a promise, he's not like man. Man promises a lot and doesn't even do a little. Emor harbe v'afilu me'at einoi oise. That's the ma'isa of a similar one. Where do we find the first one? Where do we find Avraham Avinu? His relationship with Ephraim Achiti. Okay, that was a very critical moment in Jewish history. Where Avraham Avinu, he met up with Ephraim Achiti. Avraham Avinu, he met up with a lot of Goyim. Every time Avraham Avinu met up with a Goy, there's a very, it's ma'isa of a similar banim for all future generations in a dialogue between the Am HaNifchar and the Umay Sa'ilam. First time we find Avraham met up with in the Torah, we know Terach. These are all Midrashim though. Terach, Nimrod. That's not explicit in the Torah. That's only Medrash. In the Torah, the first time I think we find Avram met with a guy was with Paro. That was the first conversation. There's what to learn. The relationship, the dialogue between Klal Yisrael and Umos HaOlam. The second time he met with the guy was Avimelech. Right? Isn't that, and there was a second time he met that. And then the third time he met with a guy was with Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayin. He met with Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek was the priest, but he wasn't, he's not the Am HaNifchar, Malki Tzedek. And then Melech Sodom, he met with Melech Sodom. And then the next time, I think he met again, the next time was with Ephraim. And Ephraim, okay, so yeah, I'm just throwing it out loud now, but you find in Tanakh all the different events where Avraham Avinu, who represents Klal Yisrael, he meets with who? Nachamal, Avimelech a second time? A second time. So it's very interesting, and I think it's a very fascinating idea, is that Chazal always tell us everything that happened to the Avos is Maisa Avos, similar banim. And we find multiple dialogues in the Torah between Avraham Avinu and leaders of the free world, and leaders of the Umay Sa'ilam. And each conversation represents an era, represents a period in Jewish history, a period of Jewish history of a conversation. Is Ephraim the last time we find Avraham Avinu talking to a guy?
Probably, because he's nifty in Parshas Chayei Sarah, they wrap him up.
So that would mean that Avraham Avinu's conversation, Avraham Avinu's conversation with Ephraim is today. It's Merames. If all of the different times when Avraham Avinu is having a conversation with the leader of the world, the Umos HaOlam, it's Mais of a similar banim. So trace history and try to find parallels between the conversation of Avraham with Paro, Avraham with Avimelech, Avraham with Malki Tzedek, Avraham with Melech Sodom, Avram again with Avimelech, and then Avram now, the very last time he's talking to a guy, and it says that he was the leader. They appointed Ephron in honor of Avram. They made him the leader, Ephron Achiti. And what was the what's the lesson we learned from them? Emor harbe v'afilu me'at einoy oise. Ephron promised the world. Avraham Avinu, we love you. You're so great. You're wonderful. You could have it for free. You're a Nasi. You can have the whole land for free. You can have the Moris Machpelah, Chevron, it's all yours. Emor harbe, v'afilu me'at, eino oise. And the end was he took from him an arm and a leg. And if that was the last conversation we find Avram, the Am HaNivchar, is having with the Umos HaOlam, and we're living in the time of Ikvus of the Mashiach, it's a remez for us. Don't get carried away when the Umos HaOlam promise us the world. Emor harbe v'afilu me'at einoy oise. Be on guard. Okay, that's also in the Chanavi. That's right. Wait, no, Eliezer was, that's after, the next parish. Okay, the next parish was Eliezer. You're right, so maybe you're saying right, so it's not Mamish the last. Okay, I think it's an interesting idea. Okay, we have over here a whole new idea is to
Eliezer had an agenda.
To study the conversations of Avram Avinu, who represents Klal Yisrael, with Goyim. Because everyone here that he's talking to is a non-Jew. He's not going to be a partner in his mission of creating the Am HaNifchar. And Ma'isa Avos Simul Labanim. History has been very long and complex. And every generation, we have different challenges. And the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Umos HaOlam is unique. And there is a struggle. But the struggles are unique. And what's hidden in these struggles, L'chaira, is hidden in the conversations that Avram Avinu is having with these individuals. And we, the most thing that we have to relate to is the very end, the Achres Hayamim. Who is the Achres Hayamim? In any event, over here it says, according to Rashi, Rashi says, I am, the word Kel here in this context has the connotation that Kadosh Baruch Hu is an Enes. Kel is, we talk to say that. What do we say, Amen? Kel Melech Nemon. Hashem is the Melech that is faithful. Hashem keeps his word. Why is Amen? Why is it Amen? Kel Melech Neman. Why couldn't it be Yudke Vavke Melech Neman? And then it would be Yomein. Like in Yomi. Yomein. Why is it Aleph Mem Lamed? Let it be Yudke Vavke. The first letter is Yomein. Or let it be not Kel Elokim Melech Neman. So then it would be also Amen, but it would be Elokim. Or let it be Tzomein Tzivakois Melech Neman. Why did the Chazal emphasize that Amen is Rashi Tevois Kel? Rashi here tells us because the word Kel carries with it meaning faithfulness. I promise, I deliver. I don't make up stories. I'm not a liar. Ki Kel Anochi Hamikayim Divrei Toivasi Ve'ein Midasi Li'Nochem Al HaToiv. It's not my derech to retract. Next words of Rashi, Bekir Bukha Kadosh, Kadosh Vloya Vod Bugia Hares, Kivar, Hiftahti Lahashra Shrinasi Bekir Bukha, Birushalayim. I already promised to rest my Shrina Birushalayim, Beloy Ashra is so oid al ir Hares. I already promised to rest in Yerushalayim, it's not going to be anywhere else. Liyesh Mefaresh, Beir, Lashoin, Blashoin, Sinna. Okay, so here, don't, the ir does not mean a city. Kimo Vayihi Orecha. In that context, which means I will not come with hatred. I will not come upon Klal Yisrael with hatred. Okay, what does the Targum say? Rad Targum Pasuk Yud Pasuk Otes says V'le'achlef B'kirya Acharei. He learns it's a city. Kirya means a city. B'ir, ir is. Or like to arouse the word aleph resh is like an arousal. Or means to wake up, like a person to meir hashachar. You wake up before the dawn. It's a borrowed term, but the shorish is not the yud. According to this interpretation, the yud is not part of the shorish. The primary letters are the ayin and the resh, which carries with it a connotation of hatred. And Hashem says, I'm not going to express sinna for my people, even though they are deserving, because I promised, lo ma'astim, lo ga'altim, l'hofer b'risi itim, I'm going to be good to the Jewish people. So we have over here a whole new parish in this pasuk, according to Rashi, totally, completely different than the parish of the Mitzudos, and we translate the words again, it means, why? Ki kel anoichi, Because I'm faithful to my word. I promised, lo ma'asta v'lo ga'altim, I'm faithful. V'lo ish, I'm not a person who breaks his promises. Ish, according to Rashi, appears to be the repetition of the same idea. A human being, a frail human being, is not true to his word. And now he differs with the mitzudos by saying the words bekirbecho kodosh. It's the past tense. It's referring to the past. Unlike the mitzudos that says bekirbecho kodosh means the future. I will continue to rest my divine presence in your midst. Rashi says no. Bekirbecho kodosh means in the past. In the past, I have already promised that I will rest my divine presence in Yerushalayim. And to David and Nasan and God, they figured out that it was Yerushalayim. I already made that promise. I'm not going to select another city. Now, what's the other city? So seemingly, according to this interpretation, it would mean, I'm not going to go rest my Shechina among the Goyim in Rome. I'm not going to rest my Shechina in America, in Washington, D.C. I'm not going to rest my Shechina in, all the various capitals in London. I'm not going to rest my Shechina in different centers of the world. And then Rashi, the second shot means, Be'ir means, I'm not going to express hatred. But this goes back to something we discussed many, many times, and that is, it's an idea, is that many people, that this is an idea expressed, a controversial idea, is that many, it seems that some people challenged the fact that Yerushalayim was the Mokoy Asher Yifchar Hashem L'Shakein Shemoy Sham. Who says it's not me that can give me the why we have so many problems today with the Umos HaOlam challenge? Isn't it very bizarre? No one's challenging the fact that Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States. No one's challenging London. No one's challenging all the other capitals of the world. And only when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, only when it comes to Eretz Yisrael do we find ourselves being challenged that it's not the capital of Eretz Yisrael. The truth is, who was the first one to challenge that Yerushalayim is the capital? It was us. Because nowhere in the Torah does it say Yerushalayim is the Mokoyim Hashuas Hashchina. It doesn't say that. All it says in the Torah is Mokoyim Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shakein Shemoy Sham. The place Hashem will choose to rest his divine presence there. And that Mokoyim was not known for 440 years after they entered into Eretz Yisrael. They came in, they went to Gilgal for 14 years. They went to Shiloh for 369 years. They went to Noiv and Given for 57 years. During those 440 years, Yerushalayim was just nothing. It was a city, it was a wall, it was occupied by the Yevusim. It seems like they never really succeeded in the kibush, in conquering Yerushalayim, and it wasn't any big deal. So no, we don't have Yerushalayim. What's Yerushalayim anyway? It's just you'll tell me, oh, maybe in Yerushalayim, maybe there was a tradition that it was the Har HaMoriah. Maybe they knew about that. I don't know. They knew that's where the Akedah took place. They knew that's where the Evan Shasi was. Okay, today, do we find anyone today running to Har Sinai? We don't even really know where Har Sinai is. You want to say it's the Sinai Desert? All right. It doesn't seem it's too attractive to go there, the Har Sinai Desert. So you want to go say it's somewhere in Saudi Arabia? Okay, there are many who want to say it's Saudi Arabia, somewhere there. You don't see people running, flocking throughout the generations to go and to dwell upon the mountain, wherever Har Sinai was. There are other holy places in Eretz Yisrael. No, so... Okay, they're holy places. No one's going meshuga to be meisur nefesh. That we have to have these places. So why weren't they so makbid on Yerushalayim? Maybe Yerushalayim was the place where the Akedah took place. Maybe they didn't even know if that's where it took place. Maybe it only was revealed later on. Teretz is, so what? It's a nice holy place, but that's not what was. You have to focus on the future. And we have to focus on the Mokoyim, Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shakein Shemoy Sham. And that was not known until the time of David HaMelech Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh with Nasan HaNavi. Hashem with Nevuah revealed that Yerushalayim is the Mokoyim Hashuas HaShchina. The problem was David had enemies. David was challenged until even after his death, because David came from Rus HaMoavia. Lo Yavai Amoni Moavi B'Kahal Hashem. It cannot possibly be that an illegitimate member of Klal Yisrael is going to tell us where the Mokoyim Hashras HaShchina is. Cannot be. A Tzioini is going to tell us about the Mokoyim Hashras HaShchina. He's illegitimate. And what happened? So according to some opinions, Enochanami, this was challenged throughout all the generations, all the way down. And that's why we mentioned it so many times. That's why they kept on building bamois. Bamois. Rak ha-bamois loisaru. Because if there is no final resting place, there is no bama gedoyla, then you're permitted to have a bama kitana. The prohibition to have a bama kitana only goes into effect when the final resting place has been decided. And it cannot be that David, who is illegitimate in their opinion, is the one that's going to select the makom, the final resting place of the Hashras HaShchina. He can build a beautiful structure. It'll be a bama gedoyla, but it's not going to be the Mishkan. It's not going to be a Mikdash. And therefore, we're allowed to continue having private bamas. It took a long time until they came to that realization, time of Yoshiyahu, all the way down until time of Yoshiyahu, when they finally, he succeeded in removing the bamas, meaning he was the one that can finally convince the Jewish people, finally, that indeed Yerushalayim is the final resting place. So it turns out that we are guilty of a very great sin. According to this approach, which is controversial, is that Klal Yisrael themselves were guilty of not appreciating that Yerushalayim is the true capital of Eretz Yisrael until very, very late in history. It's not so far-fetched then to understand why we today suffer from this. It's haunting us. Where if we don't believe it, if we're not convicted, we don't have convictions, so why should we expect the world to be better than us? I read recently that one of the Gedolei Yisrael, one of the real Haredi Gedolei Yisrael, he said that the Haredim, they're very disturbed with the draft. I'm not going into draft, not draft. They're disturbed with the draft. That why? Why is the government coming to force them to chepa? No one's forcing them. But why is the government enjoy chepping? We enjoy, you know, arousing them by demanding and threatening they're going to draft every Ben Torah and Beis Medrash to come and learn. So the Gadol says there's only one reason why. What's the reason why the Haredim say they're not going to the army? There are many reasons, right and wrong, whatever they are, but one of them, the most significant is that the study of Torah is so great and so important that it is the ultimate service to the country. It is the ultimate protection to Eretz Yisrael to be fully immersed in Hasmada Rabbah in the Beis Medrash. So the Gadol said, the Gadol, I don't remember which one it was. It was one of the big Gadol, maybe, I don't remember, one of the big Gadol. He says, you know why the Israeli government, they agree with you. They really agree with you. They really, deep down inside, they agree. The problem is, you don't believe it. If the B'nai Torah sitting in the Smedrash really believed 100% that their learning and their devotion to Hashem in the study of Torah is what protects Klal Yisrael, is the ultimate Haganah, the government wouldn't even have a Havamina to take them out of the Beis Medrash and serve. It's only because you don't believe in it. You think, yeah, you learn, it's nice, I learned by Smod Rabba, but I'm not, my learning is not really, doesn't really make a difference. It's not really, you're not really with the program. Oh, you don't believe it. Okay, so if Taka, you don't believe it, so get out there. Time for basic training. it's very true. That's really what it's all about. If we really believed it, then this whole thing wouldn't be an issue. Then the ubi a siyata the shmaya, be a whole different situation. So that's really the same thing. If we don't believe in Yerushalayim, how can we expect the world, the umos ha'olam, to believe in Yerushalayim? So the reason why I'm saying this whole idea again over here is because you can't take nowhere. It says here v'loy ovoy be'ir. Rashi says this first interpretation, I'm not going to another city. I have selected Yerushalayim as the final resting place. David is legitimate. Nasan Hanavi and David have discovered al pi ruach hakodesh that Yerushalayim is the makom asher yivchar Hashem l'shaken shemo sham, and that's it. V'zehu. So get with the program. Cut out the bamos. Stop all the bamos in your backyard. Rally around Yerushalayim, around David, and there should be a central authority in Klal Yisrael. Could very well be that part of the problem of the Aseres HaShvatim, why they broke away and they made their own Mikdash in Basel and Don, part of that is related to the fact that they don't really believe anyway that Yerushalayim is the Mokim Asher Yivchar Hashem. When Mashiach will come, he'll tell us where will be the Mokim, the final resting place, the Mokim Asher Yivchar Hashem. Maybe it'll be in Tel Aviv. Maybe it'll be in Eilat. Maybe it'll be in Beis Shemesh. We have to wait for Mashiach to come for it to be revealed, the Mokim Asher Yivchar Hashem. So why should we rally around Yerushalayim and David? Yeah, but so what? The Beis HaMikdash was nothing more than a Bama Gedola. Like Shiloh. What was Shiloh? Shiloh was a Bama Gedola.
I understand.
It wasn't the final resting place. It was a city. It was a whole center for 369 years. Noiv Gibbon, the same thing. So now we have Yerushalayim. But is this the Mokoim Asher Yivchar Hashem? The final resting place? No. We have to wait for Mashiach to come out of heaven to reveal to us the Mokim Asher Yivchar Hashem. And this was a constant struggle. Yoshiyahu, that was his ultimate success. Yoshiyahu's success was he removed the Bamos for the first time in Jewish history. The removal of the Bamos was an acknowledgement by Klal Yisrael. Indeed, even though Mashiach did not come, this is all part of the process. This is indeed the Mokim Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shakein Shemo Yisham. There are amazing parallels in Eretz Yisrael today. How you know, the thorough rejection of what's happening in Eretz Yisrael by elements of society, no, it's totally nonsense. It's like Eretz Yisrael is nothing more than Uganda. It's just total. It's not part of the bigger plan. Not saying that, you know, no one is forcing you to say halal with a bracha, okay, and to celebrate, but to acknowledge that a process is in motion that leads up to the coming of Mashiach. There are amazing parallels between what happened with the selection of Yerushalayim, even though there was no Mashiach. It's something which you know, it's to be studied. All right, so that's Rashi. Now we come to, let's take a look over here at the Radak. Radak, Pasuk Tes. Radak, Pasuk Tes, back on page 169. The Radak says, Le'eseh le'oshuv im yisartim ba'voinam, although I have chastised them in their sins, le'oshuv oy la'aleim l'shachasam yikol v'chol, I will not destroy them. Even though I have expressed anger, indeed, I have done to them, brought upon them suffering, but I'm not going to go all the way to completely destroy them. Why? Next page 171, Ki kel anochi v'lo ish, ki ani erech apai, I have patience. V'loi ki ben adam shelo yuchal lispol ka'asoy v'yoyse im oivav kifi chamosoy v'chasoy. So here we have a new interpretation. A new interpretation that man does not have the midah of gevura. What is gevura? Gevura is hakoivesh es yitzray, the ability to exercise restraint. This is the midah of gevura, the ultimate gevura. We say every single day in Shemoneh Esrei, Okel Hagadol Hagibor. Hashem is Godol. Godol means Hashem gives. Gives non-stop. Hagibar. Hashem holds himself back. He sees that we are rebellious. We do not appreciate all of the goodness that he bestows upon us. And naturally Hashem should be angry and should want to punish us. Hashem is Meichel. Hagibar. Hashem exercises restraint. Man does not have that ability. Man, every single person has a breaking point. It's a reality. Okay, you ever watch, you ever see these shows or these novels from my youth? I remember where they torture a person. Every person comes a point in time when they torture them, they have a breaking point. They have a breaking point. It's something that they're going to do to them where they're going to spill the beans. And they're going to give up all the secrets because there's no such thing by a person where you can hold back forever. Comes a point in time where you have a breaking point. Whether the person is being tortured, whether the person is angry, your person betrays you. Relatives, friends, in the workplace, you take garbage. You can take garbage until a certain point. And then you explode. You just let it all out. Hashem is not like that. Hashem is the Gibor, the ultimate Gibor. Hashem is always able. Hashem is in full control. Okay, let's go further. That's how we look at it. Now he goes back to the parish of Rashi. The word kel means faithful. The word kel means Hashem is kel melech neman. Hashem does not change his mind. I promise to be good to their forefathers. I will not have heard my promises. I will punish them, but I will never completely destroy them. I'm from being my nation. He's learning like Rashi that it's the past tense. I have rested my presence among them. I'm not going to profane my honor by leaving, abandoning them. Okay, this is the mokoim asher yivchar Hashem l'shakein shmoi shem. They always complain about the Quran. That it doesn't say Jerusalem anywhere in the Quran. And in Tanakh, how many times does it say in Tanakh Yerushalayim, that the Jewish people have a legacy of Yerushalayim? It says, I don't know the numbers, but it says a lot of times. That's one of the arguments you always hear in the news. Okay, it's true. I'm not denying that it's a good argument. The Quran is what nonsense. All of a sudden you want Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim people are nothing. Study your own history. It was a Jerusalem meant nothing to Islam until they got jealous of the Jews. And Tanakh, David HaMelech, Haravna, once Yerushalayim was it's the historical fact. But the truth is, Rabbi Sai, it's a good argument. I'm not coming to challenge the argument. But it's not such a good argument. Because in Yerushalayim, it doesn't say Yerushalayim in the Torah anywhere either. In fact, it's only because of faith. Who says we're entitled to Yerushalayim? It doesn't say Yerushalayim. It says in the pasuk Mokoim Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shakein Shemoy Sham. How do you know that Yerushalayim really is ours? It's only because Emunas Chachamim. It's only because Emun in the prophets, in the Nevi'im. It's only because of the Torah Shebal Peh element of Yadus. It's not part of scripture. Everything that it says in Nevi'im and Kisuvim that we've taken over, that just means that we've occupied it. But maybe we are illegal occupiers. Maybe the fact that in Nevi'im and Kisuvim it says hundreds of times that the Jewish people lived, developed Yerushalayim, the whole seizure of Yerushalayim, maybe it was illegal. It belonged to the Yavusim. First of all, it says it's not. That's not really a good argument. That's really false because we bought it. We bought it fair and square from Aravna. It's one of the only three things in Torah that was bought fair and square. Yerushalayim, the Maris Machpelah. What was the third thing? Shechem. There were B'meya Kisita. B'meya Kisita. Yaakov. The only three things that were purchased. All right. So that's not. But the truth is, the only reason why we really believe that it's our legacy is because the Torah Shebal Peh element of the Torah. Because in the Torah, it only says the Mokoy Masha Yivchar Hashem.
It doesn't say Yerushalayim in Tanakh.
No. It only talks about Yerushalayim that we purchased it and we occupied it and we built there a Beis HaMikdash, and David built his palace, and that became the center, the capital of Eretz Yisrael.
So what should it say?
No, so... No, nothing. So it's sure we bought it. It's purchased. It was purchased.
We were there. That's the point.
But to say that Yerushalayim is spiritually special. Okay, let's focus on it from that point of point.
What's referred to as Tzion?
Hot Tzion. Har HaMoriah, we don't know, is it? Is Yerushalayim?
We have a legend. It doesn't say Beferish anywhere that Har HaMoriah is Yerushalayim. We don't know. We know about Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. We know that HaMoriah, Avram did call it Bahar Hashem Yeroyah. So L'chor, that pasuk does teach us that those two were together. Shalem Yeroyah and Shalem became Yerushalayim. So L'chor, there we do see in the pasuk that HaMoriah, the Akedah, was the place of what we call today Yerushalayim, the place. Okay, fine. So that was a one-time event. Avram Avinu, he did something spiritual on that Makom. He did something very spiritual and went and he offered it to Akedah. But who says that should be spiritually special? Our argument is, there are many arguments. First of all, the best argument is we bought it fair and square. Okay? We bought it at Ravna. Just like Manhattan was bought for $8, David purchased the Yerushalayim from a Ravna Hayavusi fair and square. Very good. It's our real estate. But is it spiritually significant? Yerushalayim. It does not say that anywhere in the Torah. That Yerushalayim is a makom of spiritual significance. It does not say that anywhere in Tanakh. All it says is David purchased it. They built the Beis HaMikdash. The Shechina,
that's why spiritually
okay, the Shechina came down, but the Shechina came down in Har Sinai, the Shechina came down in the Midbar in 42 Masois, the Shechina was in Shiloh, the Shechina was in Neve Givon, the Shechina was in Gilgal, the Shechina is on the New York subway. When you're underground on the New York subway and you're sitting in between a Puerto Rican and a Mexican and in front of you is someone from Pakistan, the Shechina is there as well. So the Shechina is everywhere. So why is there an extra dosage, a super duper deluxe, beyond our understanding, dosage of sanctity in the Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh? It doesn't say this anywhere in the Torah HaKadosha that was given to us by Hashem at Har Sinai. Doesn't say it. All it says in the Torah is there will be a Makom. HaMakom asher yivchar Hashem. Hashem will select. L'shaken shemoy sham. And if you believe that Yerushalayim is that place, even though it's legally ours, that has to be expressed, it's legally ours because we bought it, that's very significant. And we know historically, anyone that tells you otherwise is just a liar and just a denial of reality, that we live there, we purchased it, we live there, we developed there, so it's ours, period. But if you want to argue that it's spiritually significant, you have to be a maimon. It's one of the animamans. Animamim be'emuna shleima shekol divrei nevi'im emes. And if you don't believe in that principle of the 13 animamins of the Shekol Divrei Nevi'im Emes, the fact that it still indicates, obviously, that it's not something you can prove. Because if you could prove it scientifically, it would not be one of the 13 principles of Emunah. So it's Emunah. Who is the one that told us that this is it? Well, there were two Nevi'im together. David was a Navi, no question about it. And Nasan HaNavi. Together, or is it Nosan? I always think Dos Nosan and God. There were two Nosan and God. I always forget the story. It's Nosan and God. But Nosan and Navi, I believe, together, they reveal through prophecy that this is it. Zehu. And if you don't have that degree of faith in the Emunah, then you got a problem. You really got a problem. Therefore, you can really say that, listen, you know, Yerushalayim is a very, it's ours, but you know what? It might be in our interest to sell it for this purpose, for the sake of peace. You know, give up half of Jerusalem. We own it, that's right. So we'll pay a price. We'll give half, we'll sell half. It's a good business deal. It's a good negotiation to give up a couple of miles of land for peace. Why not? It's a very sound argument.
That's not what will happen.
What? It's a sound argument. So why are we misnagged? Why is that utter nonsense? It's because it's not for sale. The reason why it's not for sale is for one simple reason. Because it's sacred. It's sacred beyond description. Look, Gaza, they gave up. Okay, Gaza, they gave up. Who says it was the right thing to do?
Right.
Okay, but World War III did not break out over giving up Gaza. World War III would break out over giving up Yerushalayim. Okay, it will. It would. There would be. It would happen. That's what, it would. It's not going to happen. Why? So why is Yerushalayim different? It's just a piece of property, no different than Gaza, no different than the West Bank, no different than this. And you even find the Gedolei Yisrael, they are very big Gedolei Yisrael that are very pro giving back land for the sake of peace. I don't know if they would say it today anymore. Okay, study history. I don't know too much about Jewish history, but over time, man, there were a lot of different, you know, big minds. We're talking over here. I don't want to get caught saying the wrong thing now, but I'm confident that over the last 70 years, when different situations have come forth, opinions have been expressed by big people in certain very specific situations, is that for the Torah did not say that you're mechuyev to refine the state of sakana hanach bohem minig derech eretz. Whatever, I think time has proven that you can't make peace with them. So it doesn't. So I think I don't know if they would be alive today, if they would. Okay, mashiyasa hazman lo yasa hasechel. Correct. So yeah. I don't know today those same people when they look back and study what's gone on the last 70 years if they would be in agreement with what they said. Oh, because time shows us that that's not necessarily true, but theoretically. There is such a reality, but not Yerushalayim. Why is Yerushalayim different? Because it's the Mokoy Masher Yifchar Hashem L'Shakein Shmei Shem. You only can come up to that, to make that statement, if you are a Maimin. If you are a Maimin, Ani Maimin, Be'emuna Shalema, Shekol Divrei Nevi'im Emes, then indeed, that's not negotiable. But if you're not a maimin, Rachmana Litzlan, and unfortunately, Eretz Yisrael, not everyone is a maimin, it's just a piece of property. And if in real estate and in business, you make deals, you negotiate. And sometimes it's not a bad deal, it's a good deal. You have to decide. It's a whole different equation. You need emunah. And this pasuk comes to emphasize this degree of emun, and Rashi over here is coming to express this idea. Ki kel anochi lo yish bikir b'chok kadosh. Hashem is reminding us of Yerushalayim. We're coming now, right? We're coming now to Chav Ches Iyar, the anniversary, 51 years ago, when the Ribbono Shel Olam returned to us sovereignty over Yerushalayim. Forget about Medina. Don't get into Tzion. Let's just talk about the facts. Don't confuse me with politics. The facts are, it's an incredible matan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us back Yerushalayim, Sovereignty of Yerushalayim 51 years ago. Bekir b'chol kadosh. Rashi says, this is an explicit reference to Yerushalayim. And this is it. This is the Mokim Asher Yivchar Hashem V'loy Avoy Be'ir. I'm not going into another city. Don't just learn pshat very, very simply. I'm not going to rest my divine presence among the Goyim in Rome. I'm not going to divine my divine presence. I'm going to exchange the Jewish people for the Americans. I'm going to exchange them for the Italians, for the Spanish, the Portuguese, the Mexicans. That's not what it means, Be'ir. It means I'm not going to go Lova Bu'ir into another city in Eretz Yisrael. Because Yerushalayim is indeed the Mokem Asher Yivchar Hashem. It's powerful stuff. This is a serious thing. And the Targum says it. The Targum also says very much explicitly what Rashi says. And that's even more powerful because the Targum way before Rashi. You look at Rashi in the Targum Yoinason. Look at the second line in the Targum, page 170. V'les oivadei b'nei Visron the Dorin Alara, okay, my ways, Hashem is saying that my actions are not like the actions of human beings. B'nei Visra. B'nei Visra means flesh. Rashi Taich is an ish. Ish is synonymous with basar. A human being is an ish, is a basar v'dam. D'dorin alara, kein gizoris d'vene hoin. I have gizoris d'vene hoin shechinasi kadisha. I have bestowed my shechin among you. V'lo achalef b'kirya ochori od yas Yerushalayim. Targum says in the Farish, I'm not going to exchange Yerushalayim for another city. That's the city that we're referring to over here, according to, and that's exactly what over here the Radak quoted the name of Sad Yegoin, and he acknowledges exactly what the Targum says as well. Right. And now he goes further, the Radak, page 171, V'achocham Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, Perash, B'kir B'chol Kodosh, Afal P'shloi Ovoi B'ir, B'kir B'chol Kodosh, now he has a whole new translation, he adds in three words, Afal P, I am amongst you holy, even though I have not entered the city. So what does it mean over here? K'moisha Amar, Ha'umnam, Yeshev Elokim Esa Adam Al Aretz. Is it true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in... Radak, page 171, on the first one, on the big lines. The big lines, Ve'hechacham, it's in bold. It's the big lines, page 171, Radak. You go down to the very big lines. It's the second paragraph of the very big lines. The Chacham Avram ben Ibn Peresh b'kir b'chol kodesh afal pi shli avay bu'ir. So the saying over here is a merdikah yisoid, beautiful yisoid is that Hashem over here is saying to Klal Yisrael is, listen, you're misbehaving, and therefore I'm leaving. I'm gone. There's no more Beis Hamikdash. It's going to be destroyed. But in regard to the Aseres HaShvatim, you're going into Galus. Just because there is no Eretz Yisrael and you're in Galus, don't make the foolish mistake and think that Hashem is not with you. Hashem is resting, like I said, Hashem is on the New York subway underground in sweltering heat when you're sitting amongst all the various nationalities who are glued to their smartphones. Guess what? Hashem is there. Ribbono shel Olam is bekir b'cha, is in you, in your neshama. Don't make the mistake and think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only in a building, is only resting his shechina in Yerushalayim, in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim between the Kruvim. Because the time is coming very soon where that structure is going to be destroyed. And Hashem's shechina, the intense shechina, is going to go to heaven. And people will make the mistake and think that the shechina is no longer resting among us, and therefore we can do whatever we want. We're just like the Umay Sa'ilam, there no longer is there anything special about the Jewish people. No. Bekir b'cho kodosh, afal pi v'loy avoy b'ir. Even though I'm no longer going to be resting in Yerushalayim, in the city of Yerushalayim, in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you look at the Temple Mount, what do you see? You see the Dome of the Rock, you see a mosque. You see the Arabs running around up there, making trouble. So there's no Ribbono Shel Olam over here in this makom anymore. So I can make a mistake. So therefore I can do whatever I want. I'm free to life of Efkeris. I'm in your neshama, Hashem says. That's how the Ibn Ezra Limshan, the Pasuk, he adds in. It's a beautiful pshat. Only problem is, it's not what it says in the Pasuk. And the only way you can make in the Pasuk, if you go and you inject into the Pasuk the words, Afal pi shaloi avoy b'ir. K'may sha'amar. Ha'umnam Yeshev Elokim Es Adam Al Aretz. Is it really true that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he lives with men on the earth? Does Hashem really rest his divine presence upon this mundane earth in a human being? And the answer is yes. Indeed, Hashem does. Rabbi Seinu Zal Perishuv Yamu Mishum Debekir B'chol Kadosh Shloi Ava Beir. They learn Ela Shloi Ava B'Yushlam Shal Maila. A new interpretation. Ach Evne Yushlam Shal Mata. I will only be Bekir B'chol Kadosh when Mishum the Bekir B'chol Kadosh, because I am within your midst, I will not go into the ear. What's the ear in this interpretation? The ear Shalmaila. We have this very mystical principle that there's a Yerushalayim Shalmaila. There's a Yerushalayim Shalmata that is parallel to the Yerushalayim Shalmaila. anyone knows what that means, I'm spooked out. Because no one knows what this means. Yerushalayim Shalmaila. I'm not gonna go into Yerushalayim Shalmaila Ad Shevne Yerushalayim Shalmata. Umiiko Yerushalayim Lamala. Is there such a thing? Yes. The Chassid, it says in Tehillim, Yerushalayim Habanuya Ki'ir Shechubera Lo Yachtav. The rebuilt Yerushalayim is a city that's joined together. In other words, there's a chibur. Yerushalayim is beloshon yochid, loshon rabim. The yud mem at the end of any Hebrew word connotes plural. So why is it called Yerushalayim with a yud mem? It should say Yerushalayim. Good morning, how are you? It should say Yerushalayim. Why is there a yud? It should just say Yerushalayim. Why do we pronounce it as if it says a yud mem? Yerushalayim. Yud mem always means plural. The answer is, there's not one Yerushalayim. There are two Yerushalayims. There is the Yerushalayim Shalmaila and the Yerushalayim Shalmata. Ki'ir Shechubra. It's considered to be one city. Shechubra lo yachad. The two halves are joined together as one. Now, by the way, in Tanakh, almost every time it says Yerushalayim, it's spelled Choser. The Yud is missing. Why is the Yud missing? To indicate that really there's only one Yerushalayim. The only one Yerushalayim is Shalmala. Because in Tanakh, all the mentions, there's always something lacking in the Yerushalayim Shalmata. And that's why there's only really, even though we pronounce it Yerushalayim, as if there is a Yud to indicate there are two Yerushalayims, but it's spelled Yerushalayim without the Yud to indicate there's really only one Yerushalayim. And that's the Yerushalayim Shalmaila. Because Yerushalayim Shalmata is lacking. And because it's lacking, there's no chibur, there's no connection between the two. The only place where it's spelled Mole, anyone can guess?
In
Megillas Esther. There it's Mole, because indeed the whole essence of Megillas Esther was the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. It was Haman's 10 sons. Why do we focus? Why is there a Shira? Haman's 10 sons is written in one whole column. Like a Shira. It's called Shira. It's not just like Shiras Hazinu. Hazinu, there are two columns. Anytime you go in your blank space, it's called a Shira. Why in the world, in the Gilas Esther, why are we giving such importance to the Aseres B'nei Haman? Who cares? These are such wicked, evil people. We give them a whole column, and there's a space in between, and therefore it resembles a Shira, and we have to say B'neshima Achas. And according to the Gra, that defines the whole Megillah. If there are only 11 lines in the Haman, the whole Megillah is toffled to the Aseres. But in Haman, only 11 lines, and the cost of the Megillah is going to be triple the price. Because of all the cloth and all the complexities of writing a Gra Megillah. What's going on? They're so important, these 10 Meshugayim, that we have to go with Shoyim. We have to go and the whole Megillah becomes all part, was taught to them. The answer is that's the whole Yom Tov Purim. The whole Yom Tov Purim is all about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Because Koresh gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Who were the ones that issued a stop order? The Aseres B'nei Haman. The Aseres B'nei Haman went to Yerushalayim. They saw what was going on, and they went to Koresh. They went to Dayavish, a Parsi, and they lobbied, and they succeeded in issuing what the pasuk in Nehemiah says a sitna. A sitna is a letter of accusation that the Jewish people are rebelling against the king, against Paras. And they were successful. And it was these Aseres B'nei Haman stopped the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The miracle of Purim, besides the fact that it took away the Gzeru L'Hash V'Hargu L'Abed, but almost on an equal level, even more significant level, was with the death, the obliteration of the Aseres B'nei Haman, the Gzeru, the Sitna was bottled, and their Beis HaMikdash was back on track. It was now a Zman of Yibone Beis HaMikdash. They were back on track to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That is significant. And therefore, Yerushalayim is Molei. Because now, the mindset, the goal, the people, the plan, the hope was complete in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Megillah is all about. 70 years have passed. It all starts and ends with that. 70 years passed, there was no rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Achashverosh makes a party, the Jews are finished, and the Haman's 10 sons are celebrating that they were successful indeed in stopping the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's all over. At the end of the Megillah, just the opposite. Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael for eating from the Suda, celebrating their own demise, and the Beis HaMikdash is back on track to be rebuilt. So that's why there it's spelled Molei, and here we're talking about Yerushalayim. Over here, he's mentioning over here this the Targum and the quoting over here from the Ibn Ezra. Okay, so out of time over here, so let's just sum up so far. We've done so far over here. We'll do tomorrow with the Malmud and the Chazal. But over here, basically, when it says V'Ovay V'Ir, we have already so many Perushim. Either it means I will not come into another nation. That's how the Metsudos Tavir learns. I have decided to rest my presence among the Jewish people. I'm not going to exchange them for another nation. And the metaphor we use for another nation is another city. According to Rashi, we're not discussing another nation. We're discussing Yerushalayim l'cha'ira relative to any other makom in Eretz Yisrael. This is where my Makom Hashuas Hashchina is, nowhere but in Yerushalayim. That's what the Targum says, and that's what Rashi says. Rashi quotes another interpretation that Leyova the ear, the Yud is not the Sherish. Ear means I'm not going to pour out my hatred upon the Jewish people. Another interpretation from the Radak says, what does it mean? It means that even though I'm not going to come the ear, I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Even though V'loyova bu'ir, don't forget, Bikir b'cha kadosh, I'm resting my shechina in your neshamas. And the last interpretation we learned so far from the Ibn Ezra is, V'loyova bu'ir, I'm not going to walk into the Yerushalayim shalmaila until the Yerushalayim shalmata is rebuilt. Why? Because Bikir b'cha kadosh, you are holy people. Amongst you there is holiness. And because Bikir B'cha, amongst the Jewish people there is holiness, I'm going to protest, Hashem says. Even though in Shemayim they're inviting me to come to the Yerushalayim Shalmala, I tell the Bezin Shalmala, don't invite me to come to the Yerushalayim Shalmala, but Bikir B'cha, what's with my people on this world? My holiness is with the people, Bikir B'cha, amongst you, the Jewish people on this world. And therefore, I protest. I'm not going to come to the Bezer Shalom, to Yerushalayim Shalmaila, until the people on this world merit to have a Yerushalayim Shalmata. Then, I will come into the ear in Shamayim, the Yerushalayim Shalmaila. And this Derech Agav teaches us this concept that there are two Yerushalayims, and that's why there's a Yud in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Yud Men means plural, and that's why throughout Tanakh the Yud is absent, even though we read it Yerushalayim, it's spelled Yerushalayim, to indicate that there's something lacking in our Yerushalayim, the Chibur is not there because we don't have a Yerushalayim, something is lacking. Only in the Megillah, when the rebuilding is back on track, that we get a taste of what it means, Shechuv lo yachad, and we write the Yerushalayim Molei. Okay, tomorrow we'll do the Malam and the Chazal. What?
Hashem is
also on God. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.